Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello again, everybody. And as we continue talking to New York City mayoral hopefuls, Joe Loda is back with us now, the former CEO of the MTA, who got high marks for his performance during Sandy, is now criticizing Mayor Bloomberg for not having the rest of the city better prepared. We'll talk to Joe Loda about that and other campaign issues now as he runs for the Republican nomination. Mr. Loda, welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, great to be with you again.
I read that you made these critical comments about Mike Bloomberg at a Republican mayoral candidates forum this week. What exactly were you trying to say?
Well, I wasn't criticizing the mayor directly. I did say that I thought the city could have been better prepared, that I thought that the creation of the Office of Emergency Management, which was done during the Giuliani administration, that they would have been, if OEM was continued to be used the way it was envisioned, that they would have been the incident commander in charge. They would have been on the ground. When I was in the Rockaways the day after the storm and saw the damage that had happened to the Transit Authority facilities as well as the entire area, you know, there really was no city presence at the time. It were the not-for-profits. It was the churches who were really at the lead of that. And I was somewhat taken aback that the city of New York wasn't at the forefront the way it should have been.
And from what I read, you leveled a broader criticism of the mayor for his management style, which was about how much latitude he gives his commissioners.
Right. I'm being sensitive to the word criticism. You know, we all have different approaches and styles, and I have a different management style. I actually think that the person elected mayor is the CEO of the city, and the CEO needs to bring his operating chiefs in and make sure that they all work together. It's a different approach. It's a centralized versus a decentralized approach to management. There's no right or wrong way to do it. I was asked a question about what distinguishes your approach from the mayor's approach, and this was one way that I described it. I didn't do it from a point of view to say, you know, I'm criticizing the mayor. We all have different ways of doing things. We're all different people, and I would be a little bit more, require a little bit more collaborativeness between all of the commissioners in how they make decisions and go to the table, use that beautiful round table in the committee of whole on the second floor of City Hall, and then work it out in a consistent and collaborative basis.
So on your criticism with, you know, regarding, and I guess you're shrinking from the word criticism, but where was the city presence in the Rockaways? Do you think that it was a failure to mobilize enough city employees to be all the places that they needed to be after Sandy turned out to be so big?
Yes. The answer is yes. I do believe that you would have needed, you know, we knew what was going to happen. We knew what was going to happen to the point that, you know, I was involved in the decision-making about shutting down the transit system because I knew that there was going to be a surge. I never expected the surge to be as high as it was. And as I said at that night, about 4 minutes into the surge, I knew that my worst-case expectations had been exceeded. But that being said, you know, we knew it would have a significant impact on the barrier islands of the Rockaways. We knew that it would have an impact on the other parts of southern Brooklyn. We knew that it would have an impact on Staten Island. So there should have been in place the way, you know, I had people in place all throughout the transit authority system. They weren't all housed in one place. They were in place so that immediately after the storm was over, there were preparations and work to get the system back up and running.
Isn't good management the heart of the Bloomberg reputation that you're running on in a way, that he has been a non-ideological professional manager, which is why the city's doing pretty well, or one big reason the city's doing pretty well, and you would be the continuation of that as compared to the Democrats?
I've never said that.
How close to that would you come in what
I
you would say?
I don't think I'd come close to that at all. I mean, I honestly, I don't. I think that's somebody's theory of that. We're all different people. We all have different management stuff.
Joe Loda, Republican mayor, hopeful, my guest on WNYC. So if he gives his commissioners too much leeway, does that mean your management style would be more top-down? Is that a fair term to use?
Sure. I think it would be. I'll give you an example of what I think is necessary. I mean, I don't think commissioners are the CEOs of their agencies. I think they're the operating heads of their agencies. But any time a commissioner makes a decision that has an impact on another agency, it's incumbent upon City Hall to bring them into the room to determine what's the best way of working it out. You know, whether you know, you bring in the police commissioner and the fire commissioner and the DOT commissioner, and you coordinate and you work out all of the issues related to, for example, where the bike racks are going. I don't know if they've done that, but, you know, I would, I'm just using this as an example, that you just don't put the new bike racks, which I'm absolutely in favor of. This is by no way, shape, or form criticism. It's about one of management style. But is that top-down? I think leadership begins at the top. I think the tone of the leadership begins at the very, very top. And the most important thing a mayor can do is make sure that the city acts both efficiently and effectively. And that requires communication, it requires collaborativeness, it requires teamwork, and it requires leadership.
Just on that issue you touched on, so you're for the bike share program, but you think the racks aren't being put in the right places because there was a bad decision-making process?
It's possible. It's possible. There have been some articles about it already. You've got the bike racks, some that were in the village. It was written up in one of the newspapers yesterday that it's, you know, according to the article, I don't know this for a fact, but they're in violation of the fire code. There's a bike rack that's currently put up in Brooklyn Heights at the entrance that to the number 2 and 3 train at the Hotel St. George. I know for a fact that's exactly when there's been emergency measures, that entranceway that is now blocked with the bike racks are exactly where the fire department goes in to rescue people. It you know, it needs to be, there are ways in which you can put these bike racks in certain places that are would not impede emergency services. Now, you could make this into a larger issue than it is. It's not. It just is one that requires, as I said, I'm all for the bike share program. I'm for the bike lane programs, and not to be interpreted that I'm against it. But putting it in front of an entranceway, which emergency services use to rescue people, that's insensitive.
You were deputy mayor and budget director for Mayor Giuliani. Would you be closer to his management style?
Well, I'm not sure what his management style is, but I tell you to how you want to describe that. But I would, on many, many occasions, have tremendous input from City Hall on the strategic direction of the city.
I also see that Mayor Giuliani made some news in a critical editorial from the New York Times with a speech in support of your campaign on Staten Island this week. I'm going to play about 30 seconds where he seems to say you would oppose prosecuting a terrorism suspect like Dzhokhar Tsarnaev under criminal law.
You don't want to prosecute him and put him in jail. You want to grab him, question him, and find out who else is involved. Find out what these networks are like. That's how we prevent further attacks. And we're going in exactly the opposite direction. We need a mayor who can speak up for them. We need a mayor who understands that from having been at my side virtually every day for 40 days from the moment the bombs hit until the moment we left office. Joe wasn't away from me for more than 2 minutes.
Rudy Giuliani at a Joe Loda campaign event on Staten Island this week. So can you clarify your position on that, and do you think it's relevant to the mayoral campaign?
I couldn't hear, because as you know, I'm calling in, I couldn't hear what he was saying. So if you want to give me a snippet of what he was saying, and then I would be more than happy to answer your question, Brian.
Sure. And I hope our listeners were able to hear it. I know it was a little off mic, but he talking about Dzhokhar Tsarnaev and how he was handled after arrest. He said you don't want to prosecute him and put him in jail. You want to grab him, question him, and find out who else is involved. Find out what these networks are like. That's how we prevent further attacks. And we're going in exactly the opposite direction. We need a mayor who can speak up for that. We need a mayor who understands that from having been at my side virtually every day for 40 days from the moment the bombs hit until the moment we left office, Joe wasn't away from me for more than 2 minutes.
Right. Rudy, the mayor, Rudy Giuliani, was talking about terrorism and talking about the incident that happened in Boston. And there was a debate going on in this country about whether or not the exception clause to the Miranda Act should be should be utilized, which the Obama administration did. There was also some people, some senators, some United States senators, and I believe Congressman King, who are actually saying that the folks at the terrorists up in Boston should be treated as enemy combatants. The mayor was saying that they should be, you know, the exception clause should be used, that they should be questioned to determine if there were any other bombs or any other threats and what they knew before their Miranda rights. So I don't disagree with that at all. Does it have anything to do with the mayor's race? It has to deal, I think, with the tone of what a mayor needs to do and how they need to fight for their city. And then the mayor went on, I think, as you said there, to say that I was at his side for the 40 days after the 9/11 bombing. I absolutely was. I was making sure that all the city services were back up and running, that the rescue and operation continued down at Ground Zero. It was my job. I mean, I was down there so often at Ground Zero, you know, I was basically living down there day in and day out. I thought, you know, I don't see anything controversial about the mayor's comments. I mean, it's just a recitation of the facts that, of the political and legal debate that was going on. I don't have the luxury of being a lawyer to get into the nuances of the legal debate, but I do think we need to do everything we can to protect the country from terrorism, both within and without.
The New York Times has an editorial today, as I mentioned, pegged to those remarks, then criticizing Mayor Giuliani for hiring Bernie Kerik as police commissioner and for putting the city's crisis command bunker in the World Trade Center after the first Trade Center attack when, of course, that was destroyed on 9/11. Were you a party to either of those decisions, or you want to talk back to the New York Times editorial board?
I haven't read today's New York Times editorial, today's New York Times paper at all, because I've been doing campaigning all morning since 6:30 this morning. So I'm at a disadvantage, but I will. You know, I saw the editorial yesterday. I'm surprised they're following up.
Or maybe that was yesterday. Forgive me. I was reading it online, so I'm not exactly sure which day's paper it is. Maybe that was yesterday.
All right. Now, the decisions about Bernie Kerik, the mayor, you know, I was deputy mayor at the time. There were two people down. I don't want to get into, you know, I didn't have a vote in the process. That was a decision made. Bernie Kerik was and is a friend of mine. There's no reason to rehash it. He did some very, very bad and stupid things, and he's paying the price for it. As far as the decision to put the command center, I've testified on numerous occasions of how that decision-making happened and who recommended it. It wasn't the mayor who recommended it by any stretch of the imagination. But the fact of the matter is we did put it there. We put it in a building that also housed the Secret Service, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and other federal governmental agencies. And we did it based on the fact that, you know, the reports of security that came out of each one of those agencies. I mean, the Secret Service for the president was housed in that building as well. We based it on that. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it wrong. But I think it's gross insensitivity on the part of the New York Times to question the decision-making about somewhere where, you know, the Federal Open Market Committee of the Federal Reserve Bank was located, where the Secret Service was located, where the CIA's offices were in New York, and say, you know, the decision made in the Giuliani administration was a stupid one to have it there. They're throwing a lot of things out there. But then again, I'm never surprised at the insensitivity of the New York Times editorial board.
Joe Loda, Republican mayoral hopeful with us. Moving on from that, how about Mayor Bloomberg's speech this week attacking some of the mayoral candidates, not by name, for wanting to weaken stop and frisk and create an inspector general for the NYPD? He said that would leave us more vulnerable to both crime and terrorism. Let me play a short clip of that.
Stop playing politics with public safety. Look at what's happened in Boston. Remember what happened here on 9/11. Remember all of those who've been killed by gun violence and the families they left behind.
And he was also critical of the New York Times in the context of those remarks. But do you agree with the mayor on that as a matter of policy on the Inspector General bill or stop and frisk?
Bravo. Bravo to Mayor Bloomberg for that speech. It was probably the best speech I've ever heard a mayor of the city of New York give in the 59 years I've been a resident of this city.
What?
Mike Bloomberg was on target as I've ever seen him, the best speech he's ever given. He was absolutely 100% correct, and I applaud him for what he said and his overall approach.
What's the connection to terrorism and risk of terrorism with the Inspector General bill? Can you articulate it?
Sure. I can articulate it. The Inspector General bill has a provision, two provisions in there that actually talk about the fact that the Inspector General can question the strategies as developed by the department. The police commissioner should not be handcuffed in developing strategies as determined by the department. And that is a right that is in the Inspector General bill that should not be in there. The Inspector General should never be able to question the strategies that would be developed by a police commissioner trying to save the lives of people in New York. Having an inspector general tell the police commissioner what they can do and cannot do within the law when it comes to surveillance, where it can go and how they would use all of the tools that are available to the police department is absolutely wrong. It is unnecessary. It is directly related to all levels of crime and to terrorism. One of the things, you know, let's look at the facts. Ray Kelly, in his term as police commissioner, has thwarted 17 separate different terrorist incidents in the city of New York. And this bill would allow the inspector general to question his ability to do what he did. That's unfortunate and unnecessary.
And on stop and frisk, we had Democratic mayoral hopeful Bill de Blasio yesterday arguing in support of this lawsuit, which would declare stop and frisk unconstitutional. And part of that argument is the NYPD is making 700,000 stops in a year and only arresting 10%. Does that indicate to you that many people are being stopped without reasonable suspicion that they themselves have committed a crime?
No, I don't believe that's the case. I think the stop, question, and frisk approach that is used is fully within the Constitution as was promulgated by the Supreme Court in 1988. I think Bill de Blasio is just pandering in this process of doing it. There's no fact-based statement on his part other than the fact that, you know, the stop, question, and frisk is there. First you stop, then you question, and if necessary, you go on to the frisking portion of it. And the reality is it's done based on good policing. It requires an extraordinary amount of training of our police officers. And the fact of the matter is, if you look at the raw data, if you look at the description given by victims of crime of their assailants, there is an absolute direct correlation between how the assailants are described and the description of those people who are part of stop, question, and frisk.
All right. We're almost out of time. Let me throw in one or two transportation things. Now that you ran the MTA, did you come away with priorities for capital construction, like for what you would add first and second when the money's available?
As mayor or as the head of the MTA?
Well, are they different judgments? I mean, I realize it's not city.
Sure, because the mayor has no control over the MTA. The governor has control over the MTA.
But might have a bully pulpit or at least an informed opinion.
I've said this before, and I'll reiterate it again. There are a lot of people out there who think the number 7 train, which is now going to terminate at 34th Street and 11th Avenue, at the site of the Javits and at the corner of Hudson Yards, should continue over to New Jersey. It's a ludicrous idea. What should happen is it should continue down 11th Avenue, go all the way to the West Side Highway, so that we could open up that part of the West Side Highway as well as open up Hudson River Park to the people at the end of the number 7 train who live in Queens, be able to take advantage of that beautiful park and be able to take advantage of Chelsea Piers as well. That's a direction it ought to go. And I've been a big believer, and I always have been a big believer, in using our mass transit system to expand our communities, to enhance our quality of life. There are numerous other approaches. I think we need to, you know, seriously think about extending some of the trains in parts of Brooklyn and in parts of Queens, where the neighborhoods are not serviced by subways. what you find, and Brian, you know this, you know, wonderful communities all build around where there is a subway system. So that one of the best things we could do to continue to, you know, with the influx of people that we expect to have, probably upwards of 1 million by 2030, we need to keep enhancing our transit system to be able to service all the needs of the people of the city.
Is it realistic to look toward expanding any subway lines given the expense of that?
It's somewhat realistic. You need to look at it from another point of view. I've also been a big proponent of changing state law and statute regarding something known as tax increment financing. You can't do tax increment financing in New York the way you can in other states. Here's how it works. You basically create a baseline of property taxes, and if you enhance that part of the neighborhood, any part of the property tax above that will go to the debt service for that project. It's the way, you know, California uses it, Texas uses it, Florida uses it. We don't have that ability in New York. There is a way to pay for the expansion of our transit system if we were able to get the state legislature to pass the TIF or tax mm-hmm. increment financing law.
And one thing about cars in this respect, on Earth Day, when I moderated the League of Conservation Voters mayoral candidates forum, you'll remember I asked at the end who would like to see fewer cars in the Manhattan Business District by the end of your first term. And everybody but one, including you, raised your hands, everyone except Mr. Katsimatidis. And I didn't have time to follow up because we were out of time there. But, of course, Mayor Bloomberg failed to get his congestion pricing plan approved. Do you have a plan to reduce the number of cars below 59th Street that would be more politically acceptable?
I've not gone public with any plans. I'm not going to use this radio show as an opportunity to go public with a transit plan. But you did a wonderful job as the moderator of that debate. I give an enormous amount of credit for that, Brian.
Thank you.
But at the same time, I mean, what I think we need to do is we need to continue to enhance the Transit Authority, the Long Island Railroad, and Metro North, and encourage people to use those transit facilities. We need to be able to build locations farther out on the system and create parking lots where people can actually park in the north or in the east or in the south parts of and prevent from coming into the city. One of the things we're not doing is looking at examples of what other communities have done. You know, we don't have a lot of, you know, the park and ride approach in New York. We need to take advantage of that. There's no reason in the world why we shouldn't be encouraging on days when the Mets aren't playing at Citi Field. Let's use the parking lots at Citi Field, have people who are coming into the city park there, and then, you know, take the number 7 train into Midtown or wherever it is they're going. It connects into, you know, Grand Central Terminal at that point. We need to encourage more of that about in different ways. Before we start going in approaches, let's charge people money to come into Midtown Manhattan. There are a lot of preliminary steps that we need to do. I want to begin those preliminary steps. We need to create more park and rides the way that every other city in the United States but New York does.
All right. Final thing. I read on the Breitbart website a ringing endorsement of you for the Libertarian Party nomination for mayor, but then I couldn't find the results of the convention, which I actually think was held a few weeks ago. Did they nominate you for mayor?
They did, and I issued a press statement right after that saying that I will not be accepting their nomination.
Oh, I missed that whole thing. You won't accept the Libertarian Party nomination that Ron Paul once had at the presidential level and so forth. How come?
I will not. I'm not going – I mean, I'm not sure why. I didn't ask for them to endorse me. I didn't ask that fellow to write that article on Breitbart, a lot of which was factually incorrect. I'm not sure what they're thinking about and what their direction is. I'm not going to run on the Libertarian line at all.
All right.
They've got other candidates who are convicted felons. I'm not running on the Libertarian line.
Was that endorsement inaccurate when it said you support legalization of marijuana?
No, it's not. I've been very public about this, though I think the mayor has nothing to do with this. I have for a long time held that I thought that basically out of the University of Chicago school, where they believe that marijuana should be legal, regulated, and taxed, and treated just like alcohol.
So there might be a new conversation on whether New York City should follow in the footsteps of Washington State and Colorado, if you're mayor?
I don't think so. It's a state issue. The mayor of New York has no legal authority whatsoever to change the laws like that. It's a state law. It's completely irrelevant to the mayor's race.
All right. Joe Loda, Republican mayoral hopeful. Thank you very much. We'll keep talking.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, can we rationally? Stan Cox, author of Any Way You Slice It, The Past, Present, and Future of Rationing, looks at how goods and services are rationed, whether you want to call it that or not, energy, healthcare, and more. And he asks if we can limit consumption fairly. Stay with us.